Well, good morning, church. I am Pastor Diana. I am from the Arlington campus. I'm the campus pastor over there, and I'm thrilled to be with you all morning as we have a new rhythm. And Pastor Kaz is over at the Arlington campus all morning, and we are going to play a game to get started. I'm super curious how it went for Pastor Kaz, so we'll see how this goes here. I should have reached out in between service and been like, how did it go? I hope the wheels didn't fall off. Okay, I'm going to ask all the kids. They're going to come, and they're going to stand right here in the middle. So if you think you're a kid, you feel like a kid, there's candy involved at the end. You know, I'm just saying. So, Mr. Dan's in. He's all in. You know, I mean, I knew I'd get better numbers if I said candy. We love Jesus. I had a feeling y'all were going to come. Got to make sure the littles get it as well. Okay. All right, but I think there's plenty. Okay, yeah, I know. All right, so here's how this game goes. We're talking about the good life, and what is the good life? I didn't even think about communion being at eye level at all, so I'm pretty excited about how this is going to go already. we're talking about the good life. And so I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and you're going to get to decide what you think feels good, okay? You ready for the first question? I'm going to give you two options. And if it feels good, you go to the side that I point. And if you're adults that didn't want candy, I mean, you probably still wanted candy, but I'm pretty sure we don't have enough. If you are an adult, you get to participate too. So you can just point with your finger because we know you don't want to get up. Okay. Go this way if you enjoy doing nothing, and go this way if you like being busy. Nothing or busy. You love doing nothing or being busy. All right? Make your move. All right? Okay? All right. That's good. We're doing well. Macy's encouraging people to come to her side on the busy side. Okay? All right. Who would enjoy a beach vacation or going snow skiing? Beach or snow? Beach or snow? He's like, I'm going snowing. You can do it. Just press through like a fish swimming upstream. Yeah, there you go. Okay. Oh, wow. You all would do good in Michigan or Chicago. Okay. Colorado. All right. A lot of beach goers. Okay. How about buying ice cream or buying a toy? Ice cream or a toy? I'm going to have to tell my husband to start selling ice cream in the toy store. All right. Yeah. This is how we learn. Okay. All right. How about, you ready for this one? Who loves to spend money and who loves to save money? Spend money. Yeah, and most couples are like this right now, right? Yeah. Who likes to spend money? Who likes to save money? All right. Everybody take note who's over here. Take note who's over here. They're gonna be good to you in your retirement someday. All right. Okay, here's our last question. Are you ready? You would like to buy one big thing or a lot of little things? Same amount of money, one big thing or expensive thing, you know, maybe a tech item, or a lot of small things. Okay, one big thing, one small thing. Look at us. That was good. All right. Everybody in the middle again. You did a really good job. They're all like, where's the candy? Okay, so listen up. The reason I wanted to give you a piece of candy, and yep, Miss Cammie's going to help me. The reason we wanted to give you a piece of candy is because in your life, I know we're all focused on the candy. There's enough for everybody, I promise. Can we listen for 1 second? In your life, Jesus, you're going to be offered a lot of things that are not pointing towards Jesus. They're away from Jesus. Now, the things we did, it's not like you were, Jesus or not Jesus, right? But we oftentimes will choose the thing that's not towards Jesus, right? We'll choose the thing that's not going towards God. We'll go away from God. And the problem with that is it won't give us the peace that we want. It won't give us that peace in the hard times. Man, I don't know if we're going to get candy, man. I'm melting down. All right. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a lifesaver lollipop to remind you that Jesus is our lifesaver. So no matter what all the choices are, following Jesus is the best choice, right? All right, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get some candy. Please don't touch the communion. Okay. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this group of humans, and we ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit to fall on them and on us. In your name we pray, remind us that you're our lifesaver. Amen. All right. All right. All right. Will you help them? Oh, just kidding. Okay, Miss Cammy's got some, and these two girls got some. Once you get a lollipop, you can head back to your seat. There's enough for everyone. Don't worry. So fun. All right, they're out of green. If you want to volunteer in Kids Men, there's plenty of options. All right. All right. Good job. Thank you, teenagers, for helping us out. Thanks for waiting until all the kids got one, the littles got one. Good job. Good job. As I said, Pastor Kaz is preaching over at the Arlington campus, and I'm preaching here this morning. And then we're going to switch places next week, so he'll be over here. He's going to preach the sermon he preached over there, and I'm going to preach this sermon over there. And that's our new rhythm. That's our new way that we are going about the preaching schedule. So you don't have to worry about us as much on the road. I know that was very stressful to the congregation. We as pastors were fine, but I want you to keep praying as hard as you were. Because what we are doing right now as we move into growth is only going to be done by the Holy Spirit working, by God allowing that to happen, and it comes through prayer and the prayer of the people that are asking for there to be growth in the kingdom. So please keep praying on Sunday mornings for whoever's preaching, because we want the word to go forth and for lives to be changed and for people to be transformed to be more like Jesus. Let's pray. God, we know that you have something to say to each one of us. May we hear that one thing that you asked us to hear this morning. I thank you for the kids in this room and for how you are bringing up the next generation here at Advent. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So one of the things that I love in life is vacation, okay? Can I get a witness? Yeah, vacation is so, so great. And about 12 years ago now, my husband and I went on the vacation of a lifetime. We took my parents with us, and you're like, well, that doesn't sound like a vacation of a lifetime. But it was. We were taking my dad back to his birthplace. He grew up in England, and I wanted to take him back there, and I wanted him to show me his stomping ground and where my grandfather did ministry. And so I wanted to go and see all of that. And we had an amazing time. We actually went to my grandfather's Bible college that he went to, and the archivist just happened to be there that day. It was a total miracle that that happened. And they found pictures of my grandfather, and they found his signature. It was really cool. I thought, oh my gosh, I can't even believe that this is possible. But it was. And when the four of us get together, almost every single time we're together, we'll say something like, remember how amazing that was when this happened? And one of the things that happened was I got to step into the pulpit that my grandfather preached in, and that my little tiny dad, when he was little, would sit inside of that pulpit and hand my grandfather water. And that's so cute. I mean, I'm grinning from ear to ear because I can barely believe that I'm standing in that pulpit. I never thought that would ever happen. And so it's just miraculous to me on how amazing that vacation was. And then we were equally as surprised as the delays came with trying to get back into this country and flights canceled. And we were exhausted by the time we got back. Yeah, jet lag. We needed a vacation from our vacation, right? I hear people saying that all the time. But this one for sure, we were like, ooh, wish I had taken the next 3 days off as well. And speaking of days off, that is also something that I just love. When I have a day off when I can do whatever I want, it's one of my favorite things. And a couple weeks ago, I jumped in my car, and I was about to go do whatever I wanted, right? And my phone started firing up, right? You've all been there before. You're like, oh, today's going to be so lovely. And then all, you know, the text messages kept coming in. But I was like, it's my day off. I'm just going to ignore those. And so I tried to ignore them, and it's like they got more fast and furious the more I tried to ignore them. And I quickly realized I'm not going to be able to ignore these texts. I'm going to have to I'll just write one text, right? And it'll be fine. No, of course, then it led into trying to figure out the situation and all of that. But while I was out and about and doing my thing and trying to ignore my phone, I went to two different stores and I was wildly disappointed. And so to save my vacation day, my day off, I drove into Sonic. I mean, that's what you do, right? And I got a fancy Diet Coke. I was like, I'd like cherries and limes in that, please. Because I was trying, I was grasping for some sort of peace in my life, some sort of relaxation for my weary soul. And it was not coming. It was not happening that day. And the reality is, there's really nothing that we can do to find God's perfect peace, God's perfect shalom. It has to come from him, and it has to come from us sitting in his presence, much like we're doing this morning. So just a few days ago, I woke up and I was like, I'm easy. I'm a terrible singer. Can you help me? Easy like Sunday morning, right? Right? So I was like, that's weird. Why would I be singing that song? Like, I haven't thought of that song in years, Easy Like Sunday Morning. And then I realized, oh, it's because of the sermon, right? I've been thinking about Sunday morning should feel easy, right? And if you have children, you're like, no, it is not. And if you have a spouse that likes to be a little bit later than you, then you don't. My parents, my mom is always late, my dad's always early. And so they decided years ago, while we were still kids, two cars to church. Just, they've been married 60 some odd years. That might be their top one. So I'm singing this song and I'm wondering why God's put this on my heart. You know, it's real deep, right? Because I'm like, I don't sing a random Lionel Richie song on a random day. And so I looked up, I'm like, what does this song actually mean? And it actually was because he had broken up with someone who was really difficult. I was like, oh, that's funny. But then the second part was because every Sunday, Lionel Richie would just pause. And the way they put it in what I was reading, I have no idea if it's really true, but it works here. So he would get on the same page with God. Ah, that feels right. That's what Sabbath is, a day to pause and get on the same page with God, a good thing to do. It reminded me, actually, of this passage of Scripture from Matthew 11. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your weary souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the word yoke in the Scriptures actually is connected to the law. And so it's basically saying in this passage that God's law, God's rules are easy and light. And most of us do not think of rules or laws as easy or light, right? We're like, oh, I don't want to do that. That's so hard. But if everybody follows the rules, then it is easy and light and fun, kind of like the game when we all followed the rules. Like, it was easy, it was light, it was fun. We all got suckers at the end, and nobody didn't get a sucker, right? It was fun. It makes me think about the Ten Commandments, and the Ten Commandments should be light and easy, but specifically thinking about the Sabbath. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I love that it's listed here, because it wouldn't be listed as a commandment if it were easy, right? You have to think about it. You have to choose to do it. Otherwise, God wouldn't make sure that it got hit the top 10, right? He put it in here so that we could learn and know this is something that's not going to be easy. And it becomes even more clear to me that it's not easy, because he goes on for like a paragraph after that talking about the Sabbath. The other ones, like right after that, it's like, honor your father and mother, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Like, obvious, right? But this one, he explained a little bit more. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It is so fantastic to me that he spells it out for us, and it is for us. Sabbath is a gift to humanity, is a gift for us. He made it important at the very beginning, but it is for us. Mark 2:27 says, then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's a day for us to step away from our work. A day for us to pull back, to restore, to rest. But the problem is it just doesn't automatically happen. It sounds easy, right? Like resting's supposed to be easy. But that command is clear, like it's gonna be hard. It's almost like that's what he's saying there. Because left to our own devices, we will pick up a device, right? That's what we do now. We pick up a device. Just take a moment and when you're standing in line next time, and don't pick up your device and look around you. Everybody picks up their device. Any kind of downtime we have, we pick up our device. And the other one is the TV, right? We want to like veg out and escape, and we go to those things. But what I have found is when I go to relax and get on my phone, I get more stressed out. When I turn on the TV, I oftentimes feel the stress and anxiety rise instead of it going down. Now, as I was trying to escape from reality a couple of weeks ago, I was going to do retail therapy, and I had a plan. I was going to buy a new cute outfit. But what I hadn't put in context was that school had just started, and so all the cute clothes were like, gone. There wasn't one cute thing possible. But I was like, I will still do this. I can make it look cute. And I'd go in there, I'd put it on. I'm like, still not cute. It's not cute. It's not cute. And for 2 hours, I tried to find some sort of peace, relaxation by trying on clothes. And it was not fun. And that was a huge letdown for me. But then I realized there's no way that the cute outfit is actually going to give me that rest that I'm looking for, the rest that I want, that true stop and be still and be present to the living God. When I do things like that, like pick up my device or turn on the TV or go to the store, a couple of things usually happen for me. With the device, I almost always enter back into work, right? There's some little wormhole that always ends me back into work, whether it's a text message that comes in or, I'm just going to check this one thing real quick. I end up working. And then the other thing, when I'm scrolling on my phone or watching TV, is my anxiety goes up instead of coming down. And so it's important for us to not think that we can just use one of those things to de-escalate ourselves. It's never going to be the thing that shifts us, that changes us, and helps us to draw closer to the living God. Now, I actually met a family, know a family, that years ago, when they had all teenagers in the house, they decided on Sunday afternoon they were going to have 4 hours without devices. Whoa. Parents included, right? And I was like, that was not an easy Sunday morning conversation, right? Probably had to have that on Thursday and to cool down by Sunday. But they did that, and they felt like they reconnected as a family. They would have lunch together. They would have the afternoon together to have fun and enjoy one another. But it's never easy, and I think that's what we have to remind ourselves. No matter where we are in life, we have to prepare for the day of rest. Prepare for the Sabbath. In Scripture, in Luke 23:54, it calls it the preparation day. And that day what they were talking about specifically is when they were talking about taking Christ off of the cross. But it tells us that that was just a standard term that they used then. That was the day they were making sure they were done with all of their work before the sun went down. They were making sure that they were ready. They spent that whole day hard at work so that they could rest and be present to God and to one another. One of the clearest pictures of this that I've seen in a movie is from Fiddler on the Roof. And this is a movie that I've loved. I've seen the plays because I used to be a youth pastor, so you know kids are in these plays. But the scene right before they enter into Sabbath, the whole family, you see them doing all sorts of crazy, they're running around to get things done so that they don't have to work when the Sabbath starts. And they all come running into that room to be present to God, and they eat together, and they light the candles, and they say to God, we're going to be present to you and present to those that we love the most. But I love that they worked so hard to prepare for that and to have that clear picture. And we have to do that as people who go to work or people who are home. You have to tell your family members, this is what we are doing. You have to tell your staff members or your congregation, this is what we are doing to take a day of rest. At my last church, everybody on staff, actually, you had an automatic reply to emails, and it would go, ping, so-and-so is on Sabbath, blah, 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 and it would say when they would get back to you. And so it was so helpful because no one's like, why aren't they answering my email? Oh, it's because they are on Sabbath, and that's a good thing to be offering. In Scripture, everybody knew the expectations. That's how they were all living. It was an all-in thing. The culture at that time stopped for the Sabbath. So they didn't have to explain why they weren't, entering into work at that time. It was actually the opposite. You had to explain why you're working on the Sabbath. Now, some of us would associate Sabbath with actually not engaging anyone else, right? We're like, Sabbath's all about me and all about me pulling away and being separate. But the reality is, Sabbath is actually a community thing. And you are actually connecting with God and the people you love the most. Friends, family, you connect. In that movie clip, they're all flowing in and they're all introducing each other because there's like a new person that's coming into the family, and they are connecting with each other, but they're going to also connect with God. And like us, we are in corporate worship on your Sabbath, right? This is when you Sabbath rest. You come together. You connect together. If we didn't tell you when we meet, would you all show up at the same time? Not a chance, right? It's like, well, I'll see you when I see you, right? We all come together. It's a community communication where we all come together and do Sabbath together. A taste of Sabbath might be a small group. You're going to do that in community where you're connecting with God and others. It takes other people to do Sabbath. You can't just do Sabbath all by yourself. You can try, and you'll get a taste of it because you're pulling away, but it's engagement with each other and with God. The reason that we engage with each other is it also helps us to stop our work or stress that's in our life. A couple weeks ago, someone showed up to a small group that I was a part of, and later the text message was, I'm so glad we came because we were stressing out so much about this other thing. We needed to be with other people, right? God wired us that way. We need that. We need that 24-hour pause in our lives to connect with him, but also connect with each other. But it's interesting to me that when you're trying to do it and you don't tell other people, we're usually the first ones to be like, the nerve of them trying to interrupt my Sabbath, right? But we haven't told them, this is what I do. So it's important to communicate that. If you're gonna lean into that, if those parents didn't say, we're gonna turn off our devices for 4 hours, but didn't tell the kids, it's not gonna happen, right? And the parents gonna be like, I can't believe they don't get this. You have to talk about it in order to be able to move into Sabbath together. Now there's Sabbath, and then there's also that other day where you have to get stuff done, right? So most people have a weekend, right? So for you all, Saturday, Sunday. Well, the staff, we work hard on Sundays, and we prepare really hard. So our Fiddler on the Roof moment is on Thursday. It's like a whirlwind around here. Did you get that done? Are we done? Did we figure that out? Is so-and-so going to be able to be we're doing all the things on Thursday to make sure that we're ready. We're working all week, but that's the day that we all hit the urgency mode, because most of us on staff do a Friday, Saturday weekend, and we have to do things like go grocery shopping and wash the clothes and all of that as well. So one of those days, we try to pause where we really ignore you all. Sorry, we love you, but we love Jesus more. and then the other one, we're getting stuff done. But sometimes, even Jesus broke the rule, right? Let's read from Mark when he breaks this rule, and we see how he breaks the rule here. Mark 2:23 says this, "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as the disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He answered, 'Have you never read what David did when his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions.'" Jesus was trying to explain to them that when someone is in deep need, not want, need, then you break the Sabbath, and you work, and you help, and you make it happen. And right after that, in the book of Mark, he talks about how he healed a man on the Sabbath. He needed healing. But Jesus didn't just do it because that man needed it. He also was helping that group of people to understand it was more than about this rigid rule that you figure out, and more about that relationship that Sabbath is all about. Sabbath is about relationship with one another and also relationship with God. It's important to not keep it rigid, but we also have to be discerning when we think about what we really have to do on a Sabbath and how we can stop working like Jesus did on the Sabbath as well. Now, of course, we need to take care of people. You all have little people in your life, and you have to do your job in that regard. But I feel like you can still figure out some ways to pull away and disconnect and Sabbath. One of the things that I try to do on my Sabbath is just be away from my phone for several hours, right? A swimming pool is great for that, because you can just like get in the swimming pool. You shouldn't take your phone in the swimming pool, right? So I have friends that have swimming pools. So I go hang out in swimming pools and leave my phone far away. So I'm just not engaging with it for several hours. And it's good and it's healthy to pull away. Our minds and our bodies need Sabbath rest. God created us. He knows how we function best. And he has said, you need a Sabbath rest. I was just talking to a friend of mine who I've known since high school, and she was telling me about this big career change. She is going into full-time ministry, and I was like, ooh, girl. And she was telling me how excited she was about this new endeavor, and one of the things she was most proud of is that she's still going to have a Sabbath day. And I was like, I'm so proud of you. And I told her, I said, I think that's one of the reasons I've lasted 29 years in ministry is because I really try to guard my Sabbath. And she said, yeah, you'd be so proud of me. I did not answer a text message. I waited till the next day. And I was like, you go, girl, right? I said, wouldn't it have been easier just answer that text message? She said, absolutely. The problem is you answer one text message, leads into the next thing, and then a phone call, and then an email, and then make sure you tell, right? It's never just one small text message. But she, as we were talking, I was like, oh, this is so good. I'm preaching on this in a couple weeks. And she's like, ooh, I want to tell you something then. She was monitoring, you know, you got the smart watch, right? And she was looking at her heart rate, and she sent me these pictures to show you. She said, look how low my heart rate goes on my Sabbath. You see that where it goes way down? That's her Sabbath rest. Think about that. Think about the stress in your life. And when you decide to put the stress aside for 24 hours, look what happens to your heart rate. It's a resting rate. It's much lower. And then see how it peaks that, right? She's like, I was wondering what that was. And then she said, I remembered. Then I was getting ready for Sunday morning. I was like, oh yeah, I feel that, right? But she got to do that real rest and got to enjoy her physical being even was at rest. I want you to think for a second, if you have physical issues or your brain won't stop going, if you need to maybe rest. Think about, have I stopped for 24 hours? How long has it been since I've stopped for 24 hours? With our devices, it's like we're working all the time. Our brains are never at rest. Years ago, this friend of mine, she was in this horrific car accident. She was in the hospital for way too long. And you know the beeping that happens while you're there and it just keeps you up. Well, she didn't sleep for a couple of days in a row. And something horrible happened to her brain. Her husband came in and gave her a gentle kiss. And she turned to the nurse and she says, who's that handsome man that just kissed me? Her brain completely shut down because she had not slept in days. Now, praise the Lord, 40 days it took to recover from that. 40 days later, smart as she ever was, she doesn't remember a thing from those 40 days. Thank goodness, because she was in the hospital that whole time. But that's, our bodies need to rest. That's how real it is. That's how significant it is. It is not a joke. Psalm 6:10 says this, be still and know that I am God. This means stopping everything, stopping all the trying to achieve, trying to earn God's love, trying to control it all, and letting God do the work, letting him be God instead of us. The Message translation says, step out of traffic, take a long, loving look at me, your high God above politics, above everything. I was like, ooh, we need that these next couple months, right? We need to take a long, loving look at God. We need to pull away from all that news feed that's stressing us out and take a break from it for 24 hours. Can you imagine? Ooh, we'd feel much better, I'm sure. Anxiety goes down when we rest. It only goes up when we work too much. Our lives need to slow down. We need to let our souls rest in the hands of Jesus. When we are too busy and running to and fro, we have a very hard time hearing the voice of God. And when we pause and we're present to God, we can hear the voice of God. Luke 5:15 says this, yet the news about him spread all the more, so the crowds of the people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We think that we cannot pull away for 24 hours because we think we're that important. Do you know it was actually hard for me to be here and not there this morning? I was like, there's kids stuff. What if, and I explained way too much. People don't need us as much as you think, and their God is our God, and we have got to trust our God, that He is in charge of all of that. And we can take a lesson from Jesus. Jesus, even himself, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went and took and to look for him, and when they found him, they explained, "Everyone's looking for you!" Right? Even Jesus knew that he could pull away from the crowd and God will take care of it. And we need to lean into that and live in that way as well. A lot of you already own my book, but in chapter 8, there's a whole chapter on Sabbath and how to enter into it. And if you need a copy of that, let me know. I have a real easy way for you to get that. But it takes preparation. We have to prepare to be able to enter in to that practice. It doesn't happen automatically. It's a commandment because it is not automatic. We have to really think about it and enter in. Let's pray. God, we know that you are here and that you love us and you long for us to enter in with you. God, help us this morning to continue to enter into your presence and to be present to one another. God, we love you and we trust you and we know that you want the best for us. And so this morning, we ask that you would allow us to rest and to be present to you. In your name we pray. Amen.